I am Planta Online. This is thecommentary.ca. I'm very pleased that William Deverell joins me. I've been listening to him on other programs like Rafe Mears for years. He's had a storied career. He's a former journalist. He was a lawyer and acted as counsel in over 1,000 criminal cases. He created the long-running television series Street Legal. He was one of the founders of the BC Civil Liberties Association, and now he's out with his 14th novel. It's called Snow Job. Arthur Beecham, QC, returns and finds himself in Ottawa as his wife has just been elected the Green Party's first MP. The retired lawyer hates it, and while holed up in their condo in the nation's capital, he overhears an international plot. Later, a Central Asian country declares war on Canada. The book has been described as the most searing and hilarious send-up of the shenanigans that pass for politics in Ottawa. Snowjob is published by McClelland & Stewart. The website for more is Deverell.com. Please welcome to the Planta Online program here in Vancouver, William Deverell. Good morning, Mr. Deverell.
Morning, Joel.
Thanks for joining us. How many books has this been for Arthur Beecham?
Well, I think the first one was Trial of Passion. That was a few years ago, and then I wasn't thinking of creating a serious character back then, and then I decided, okay, let's bring them back. That was three books later. And in a book called April Fool, brought them back again and Kill All the Judges last year. And now this one, Snow Job. And each time he appears, I get, a lot of clamor. Bring him back again. And I hadn't realized that serious characters were so popular. All my books were what they call in the trade standalones up to the time I invented him. Actually, he does go back to really my third or fourth novel, The Dance of Shiva. He was a minor character, not that minor, but he was an alcoholic lawyer in Vancouver at the time. And yeah, and I said, hey, I was looking for a lawyer like that for Trial of Passion. I dragged him out and sobered him up, and here he is. And now he's married to the first main member of Parliament and living in Ottawa and hating it.
No, I didn't get a copy of the book until... I don't have a copy of the book, and so I haven't read it, obviously. And I haven't read the previous books either, but I read an excerpt. I found the first chapter online, and I read it. And it seems
like... Was that on my website or my publisher's
website?
It's
your publisher's website,
yeah,
I believe,
okay.
Yeah. And but it's definitely a book that I'll read, that I'll pick up. Do I have to have read the previous books to get this one?
No, of course not. I'd go broke if I required people. They wouldn't read the succeeding books. No, each is a total story unto itself. It is more pleasure, though, I think, if you go back to the early ones and then see how he develops. But if you'd never heard of Arthur Beecham until you picked up Snow Job, you wouldn't say to yourself, oh, there must be a whole bunch of books before this. No, you wouldn't. That wouldn't strike you at all.
Why does he pronounce his name that way?
Well, it's an anglicized version of an old Norman name when William the Conqueror came over to Britain in 1066. He brought a lot of Beauchamps with him, and of course in England they couldn't handle those long drawn out vowels, and so the name became anglicized as Beecham, and you'll find that the case with many over there who are so named.
When you go back to the previous books, what are some of Arthur's accomplishments in life? I mean, he's been a lawyer his entire career, has he?
Well, he's really achieved a reputation. Once he sobered up, and he was married to a cheating wife for a long, long time and became a major alcoholic, left his law firm and worked in Skid Road for his fellow drinkers and bums for a couple of years, and then finally snapped out of it, got himself together, and became the number one criminal trial lawyer on the West Coast, and having achieved that reputation, decided at the peak of his success that he wanted to get out of it. He was tiring of it and wanted to get off to the Gulf Islands and grow vegetables. And so the gimmick of the Beecham books is this, that every time he thinks he's settling down into a happy retirement as a farmer, island called Garibaldi Island. He's dragged back to Vancouver to do a major murder trial of one kind or another, and it's, the pressure's always put on him to do it. Only he can save the day for this guy or that. So that's essentially what happens in most of the previous books. But Snow Job, well, now he's in Ottawa, and he's desperate to get back to the balmy West Coast, and it's the worst snowfall in years. That's one of the reasons I call the book Snow Job. The other is the obvious political reason. And under the shadow of his wife, the Green Party leader and MP, and not enjoying that too much, and finally he finds his way into this swamp of corruption and spycraft that you described earlier, Joe, and ends up trying to rescue from captivity a kind of Maher Arar-like figure who has been rendered to a small European country. And in the meantime, I'm having a lot of fun in the book with politics and having an inside look at how a cabinet works or doesn't work, and all the cheating and games that are being played, and the snow jobbing that goes on.
Huck Finnerty, that's the Prime Minister of the day?
That's the Conservative Prime Minister of the day, very, very unlike our current Prime Minister. I'm being very careful not to get sued by anybody. I know Mr. Harper has a tendency to take people to court, so I've made this guy an alcoholic and a kind of a New Brunswicker, ex-fisherman, with a heart of gold. It's unlike Harper as I could possibly portray him.
How much of what goes on in current events and the sort? I mean, you mentioned Maher Arar. How much of that goes into the books?
A lot. I mean, I have a whole federal election going on in the course of the book, and a very, very tight situation in Parliament with the Conservatives having just enough seats to hold a majority and keep slipping away, and finally an election is called. And in the meantime, this little punk country in Central Asia is declaring war on Canada because a few of its dignitaries got assassinated, and there's a lot of stuff that people will notice, will feel rings true about Canada. I have just changed the names and appearances of the major participants.
The country is called Bashaistan?
I don't know. Bagwanistan or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's up there somewhere in the distant north, west of China, near Mongolia, south of Siberia, and east of Kazakhstan. You're going to have some trouble finding on your map, though.
But we'll try to find it, yeah. You seem to have a book out all the time. I think the last one was out just this year, this past year, was it?
Yeah, Kill All the Judges, yeah. That one was... if anything, the funniest book I wrote. It got shortlisted for the Stephen Leacock Award, which I was very appreciative of. I mean, I suspect I'm one of the few writers who write crime books or books of any kind in Canada who consistently lace their stories with a lot of humor. I just enjoy writing that way.
And you have books on the go now?
Yeah, the next one is sort of, I'm middling almost two-thirds way through a book called Fetish.
Is that an Arthur book, or?
Yep. Yeah, it's an Arthur book. It goes back to 1962, and Arthur is 25 and defending his first murder trial. And I won't say anything more about it, because I'd be giving way too much.
Right. When you write, before I ask you what you do when you write, how do you write? Do you write on a computer? Do you write longhand?
No, I couldn't read my own writing if I did that.
Yeah.
I'm an old journalist. You know, I worked for 5 or 6 years, worked my way through law school doing, working for newspapers on typewriters, and that's I know how to write anymore is on a keyboard. And so I've become completely adapted to the computer age. I hardly ever print out anymore. I just, I'm able to edit and make changes and switch paragraphs around with consummate ease these days. And boy, what a relief. Compared to my first few books, pre-computer books back in the early 80s, you make one mistake, you have to retype the whole page. So computers have been a great boon for this personal writer.
Well, when I read the first chapter of the book, there were some parts that had me laughing out loud. Do you, when you're writing, do you make yourself laugh?
Sometimes I just can't help it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I just, I do a lot, I try to envisage an audience as I ask myself, okay, are they enjoying this? Are they finding this funny? Are they gripped by the tension or surprised by the twist? And I have a bit of a cult following. People I know who write me, that send me emails, tell me, this is just exactly the kind of book I really love. You know, it's tension laced with humor. And so I have them in mind, and I'm sometimes talking to them. Sometimes I talk to my characters, too.
Now, do you do book clubs a lot?
No, I don't. I don't know. How do you break into book clubs?
Well, no, like, don't they, I mean, your books are obviously talked about, like, aren't they, like, selections and the sort?
I assume so, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not just a little group neighborhood book clubs. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And do they never ask you to come and talk to them, or do they?
I've done a few, yeah. I've actually, to be honest, turned down some. I mean, it is a bit of a, I live on a small island where it takes forever to get anywhere from Pender Island.
Yeah.
So, and part of the year I'm in Costa Rica, so it's not easy to take advantage of every invitation.
Now, I always ask writers when they come on their reading habits. Do you find that as a writer, reading is just indispensable to your writing?
Quite the opposite. I find that after a day of writing, I'm so exhausted looking at the printed word that I will just as likely collapse in front of the television set and watch a hockey game or a football game as I will read a book. And that's
really
not until I finally have recovered from a day of writing that I will sit, and usually by the time I've hit the bed, and open up a book or a magazine and do my reading there. Because it's my head is still full of my own book.
Yeah.
For most of the day after I finished writing, my own characters, and it's very, very difficult to concentrate on somebody else's writing. Which it doesn't, you know, I admire great writing, and when I do read a book, I will look for somebody who is not writing the same kind of book I write, because I look for, you know, an Atwood or an Updike or something, a book that is as well written as it possibly can be. I think there's a duty on writers in every genre to read good writing to improve their own.
You had a piece in the National Post about a month or so ago about the state of Canadian literature. What do you think about our books?
Canadian books generally?
Yeah.
Well, I said it in that National Post piece. I think we tend to emphasize too much the so-called literary, unquote, books in Canada. And it's to those that the awards go. It's those that somehow usually get reviewed. There's a lot of great writing, genre writing, that is not, considered eligible for such as the Giller Award or the Governor General's Award. And I make that point that we have still have a colonial mentality inherited from our provenance as a colony of Britain, and we can't seem to decide, as the Americans have managed to do. They lionize their crime writers, their science fiction writers, and of course the British knight them, but we treat them like in-laws tramping dirt into the kitchen.
I was curious about what Arthur looked like. I've heard you say that you've tried to have a series developed about him. Who would you like to play him?
Oh, I don't get into those games, you know. I don't want to even see him as see the face of some kind of movie star on Arthur Beecham. I know I'm going to be disappointed. I mean, I've described him, I suppose, as kind of a tall, lanky fellow with a little bit of a elephantine nose, but you know, a fairly attractive guy. But if I were to name an actor who would who fit the bill, they'd never choose him.
How much of Arthur is you? Like, I mean, you get asked that a lot, probably, don't you?
Well, I do get asked that a lot, of course, and everybody wants Arthur to be me, and everybody wants Margaret Blake to be my wife, all I can say is I have to admit to having some similarities. He and I both escaped to the Gulf Islands. He to grow vegetables, and me to write books, and we each ran away from the practice of the law, and we each loved those islands, but I can't say that I was running away from a cheating wife or that I was either an alcoholic or impotent. There may be some argument about that.
Bill, it's been such a great pleasure to talk to you. I've wanted to have you on for a while now. I promise that this weekend I will go to the bookstore and buy the book and read it.
Well, please enjoy it.
I think I will. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you will.
William Deverill on the line. The book is called Snow Job. McClelland & Stewart is its publisher. Visit his website, deverill.com in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.